Hey, this is Pastor Chris Arno from Relevant Church, and you're listening to ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
We've been talking now about kings and queens for the last couple of weeks, and this really stirred in my spirit. The reason we're talking about this right now is I really feel like the Lord is anointing this time for you and I to get in touch with who we really are in Jesus. And we talked about the first week, the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a young man who was born in the king's courts. He was the son of Jonathan, who was the son of King Saul. So he was born in the palace, but what happened in his first 5 years is there was an uprising in the kingdom, and Saul lost his throne to David, and then Mephibosheth, in all of this confusion, was fleeing the palace, and he was dropped by his caretakers. And the Bible says he was lame in both legs, and so he went through life lame. He went through life unable to walk. And the Bible says that one day David got a revelation and he wanted to bless the house of Saul. And so he asked, is there anybody out there from that lineage that I could bless? And somebody said, well, there's a guy named Mephibosheth and he's lame in both feet. And David said, go get him. And David went and got him. And the Bible says that David on that day restored everything that Mephibosheth would have had his father remained king. And then he took it a step further and said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to give you everything back, your lands, your money, your crops, your herds. I'm going to give you everything. The only thing is you have to come to my table and eat forever. And so every day Mephibosheth had to go to the palace and have his meal. And we talked about how this is kind of a prophetic story about you and I, because Jeremiah 1 tells us this: before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. How many understand that? You came from God. Your mom and dad were simply vessels. They were simply vessels to bring you into the earth realm. Now, we're to honor those vessels, we're to love those vessels, but your mom and dad are not your source. Can I get an amen on that? Your source is God the Father. You came from Him. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you come from God, then you and I have to understand our identity is royalty. But something happened along the way, just like with Mephibosheth. He was dropped and we were dropped because of the sin of Adam. And God had set it up when He created Adam and Eve to have sons and daughters so it could be a family business of running the earth. But Adam and Eve sinned and they ate of the fruit. And we know the story. Sin enters the world and it's the equivalent of Mephibosheth getting dropped and being lame. And so because of that drop, you and I entered a fallen world from a fallen place. But one day Jesus sent a messenger to you. And I don't know who that messenger was. It might have been here at this church. It might have been somewhere else. But that messenger came and said, Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants to save you and bring you into His kingdom. And He wants to forgive you of all of your debts and all of your pain and all of your sins. And He wants to bring you back into the kingdom of God. And we all, most of us, have responded to that. And we gave our lives back to God, just like Mephibosheth. But there was a condition for us as well, that you come to the house of God and that you sit at the king's table. Why do we need to come and sit at the king's table? Why do we come to church? Listen, church is not about getting brownie points from God. It is not doing anything for God. It's doing something for us. Can I get an amen on that? God is God, whether we come to church or not. But you and I, we are not the same people if we don't come and eat at the king's table. And so Mephibosheth had to come to the king's table to unlearn all the stuff he learned when he became lame. And so Mephibosheth had to come and sit there and learn the king's manners. And he had to go through the process of a king. And Pastor Tina talked about that last week, the process that it takes to be royalty. Everybody wants to be kings, but nobody wants to be processed. Ladies want to be queens, but they don't want to go through the process of a queen. We looked at Esther, and Esther had a process to become a queen. The Bible says for 6 months, they rubbed her down with myrrh, and they perfumed her with myrrh. And we know that myrrh was a oil that was used for healing. Before you can rule and be a king and a queen, you got to face your pain. You got to face the stuff in your life that you've gone through. You've got to deal with the rejection of not having a father. You got to deal with the rejection of divorce. You got to deal with those pains that your ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends or whatever the thing is in your life. You can't just go on. Listen, they lied to you when they said time heals a broken heart. It makes for a good love song, but it ain't true. Time ain't gonna heal nothing. Listen, I've been in ministry almost 30 years now, and the majority of what I deal with to help people is people getting over childhood trauma. Things that happened when they were children. A mother leaving, a father leaving, an absentee father, a mother who didn't care, living with an alcoholic dad, living with a mom on drugs. These are things that people in their 40s and 50s are still carrying. Listen, if time were to heal that kind of stuff, it would be a different world. When we talked about the importance of healing with pain, pain is something that we've got to face. We've got to deal with our pain. Because pain left unchecked, it only spreads. So when you grow up as an adult who's still hurting from something that happened to you as a child, you bring pain into every relationship that you have. Pain becomes your name. So some of you are dating somebody in pain. Guess what they bring to the relationship? Pain. You marry somebody in pain. Guess what they bring to the relationship? Pain. They have children. Guess what they bring into their children's lives? Pain. It's important that we deal with this kind of stuff. And you cannot deal with this kind of stuff without God getting involved. You can go to a counselor. They'll help you. But even counselors will tell you, we're trying to help you cope with your pain. We want you to cope with this so that you learn to live with it when God wants to get in there and heal it. Amen? And he can do that. He's the only one that can do that. But see, sometimes people won't let other people get involved and touch their pain. And this is why Jesus, the process for the kingdom is that you and I become disciples. Because disciples mean we follow somebody. Amen? Are you guys tracking with me? See, this is the part where we lose people in America. Because we don't want nobody in our business. We don't want nobody. We say we want help, but when help comes in the form of somebody else, we reject it. Are you guys tracking with me today? I'm trying to help somebody. Because we want help to drop out of the sky. When God says, no, I have given anointed servants who, even though they're anointed, are imperfect to work on your pain, to help you through your pain. Are you guys seeing this? It's the process of royalty. The process of royalty is to go through these things. So get those messages. We talked about those things. I'm only reviewing. And then we talked about the process with Esther, that she had to go through a time of cosmetics and perfumes, 6 months of getting her ready. So she had to work on her appearance and her smell. Interesting, isn't it? But what are those things symbolic of? Those things are symbolic of how you come across and what you leave in a room. Because how many know when you walk through a room, you can sometimes, come on somebody, you can smell who's been in that room. You got a fragrance. You got an odor. Amen? Hopefully the fragrance is good. But we've all been somewhere where the fragrance wasn't good. And every place they go, they leave a bad odor. Oh, come on, somebody. Every place they go, they leave a bad odor. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person that every place I go, I leave a good fragrance. Amen? And that's what that deals with. But that's what the process will do for you. If you submit to a process, the prize is that much sweeter. And so we've been talking about that. But today I want to shift gears on that a little bit. And I want to talk about kings. All right, I want to look at somebody, King Solomon here in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 3, we just read about. I want to look at some characteristics of kings, okay? King Solomon, the Bible says, before him there was none like him, there was none like him afterwards. He was known as the wisest man to ever live. He wrote portions of the Bible like Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, where we get so much wealth of wisdom. But there are some things to learn about this king that we need to learn about today, and this is going to help you. Amen? Do y'all realize the Word of God comes to help you, to save you from something coming up this week? Amen? It might be something that you're about to face. And so I want you to place a pull on the Word of God today. Amen? That's not too good. Let me help you through this real quick. The way that we pull on the Word of God is we respond to truth. Now, some of us know how to say amen, and amen is not just a hype thing. It is an agreement with truth. And when there's agreement with truth, there's a pull on truth. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes, and that is this. Truth demands a response, and your response to truth shows if you receive it. So whenever I'm in a meeting, I like to say amen or that's good or whatever it is, because that helps my spirit take it in. And some people, they like to just sit there. They go, well, I'm not an amen type of person and, you know, whatever. But, you know, truth demands a response. When you respond to truth, it goes deeper on the inside of you. Amen. Some of our African-American churches understood this. Amen. Amen. See, y'all thought it was just style. Oh, that's just how they are. No, that's a revelation. Has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has to do with some people receiving a revelation and deciding, even though I'm a quiet person, I'm going to receive the Word of God. So you'll see this when you travel and you go to different churches or different countries and things. People understand that truth demands a response. Amen. So we're going to work on being an amen in church, right? Amen. Not because it's just we're trying to hype you up and get you loud and makes me feel good that you say amen, but it helps you engage the Word. You're getting it. You're getting it. All right. All right. We're going to get there. So look at the scripture. This is our text today. 1 Kings 3, 4 through 15. These are some characteristics about Solomon that I want you to catch today. Okay. The first part we read there right off the bat verse 4 there. It says, now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now, that's an amazing thing. See, we live in a day and age where giving an offering is a little simpler. Didn't nobody bring a goat up in here today, right? Nobody rolled up with some sheep in the back in the pickup, you know, pulling an ox or anything like that. And I don't got to get all bloody and cut that thing up and offer it up. But they had to do that back in those days. And the Bible says that Solomon offered up 1,000 burnt offerings. That's a lot of animals. Okay, that's more that's in the Sacramento Zoo, probably. That's more. I know my animal lovers are getting all upset. Oh, don't talk like that. That's what it was back then. But as we talk about characteristics of a king, I want you to write down number one. Number one, the first characteristic that we learn from Solomon is kings know where their help comes from. Kings and queens know where their help comes from. They know where their help comes from. I want to ask you this morning, do you know where your help comes from? So we might know it in our head, but does your routine in life show that you rely on God for your help? See, the first characteristic of a king and queen has to be humility. And what is humility? Humility is depending on God. You can tell somebody who's humble because they pray, they give, they sow, they serve, they go to church. Why do we do all these things? We do these things because we know without these things, we lose our connection to God. These are acts of humility when we do these types of things. And King Solomon, as he was put in a position to where he had to rule a nation, he was put in that position overnight. He wasn't even the next in line to be king. He had two older brothers. He probably grew up never thinking he would be king, because in the lineage, he had two older brothers that were in line before him. So he probably just chilled going, hey, it's cool being a prince. I'm good with this. And then overnight, the Bible says that his mother and the prophet Nathan went into David and they said, David, you got to do something. You got one son that died and you got another son on the way here that's getting ready to be king and he's wicked. You got to make Solomon the king. And so David came into agreement, made a decree, decreed Solomon the king. You know what's interesting about Solomon? Solomon was the son of Bathsheba, who David had the affair with. Y'all remember when David went to that peeping Tom, time in his life? He's dealing with that peeping Tom issue in his life. Yeah, this is what happened. He gets this woman pregnant. She has a baby. The baby dies. They have another son. His name is Solomon. Tell me Jesus doesn't redeem us. Come on, somebody. He took a failure and made it into a success. He took a mistake in Bathsheba. David should have never had Bathsheba. David stole her, but he redeemed that situation and brought a king's lineage out of that. He's done that for many of you. Look at the wickedness that some of us come out of. Look at the lifestyle that some of us come out of. Look at the families that some of us come out of. And yet God has called you. He has saved you. He has pulled you out of the muck and the mire. Come on, somebody. Give God a good praise. But we got to stay humble. We got to depend on God. Kings and queens depend on God. Kings and queens pray. Kings and queens etch out 5, 10, 15 minutes a day just to get in the presence of God. Why? Because we know if we don't, we run the risk of screwing it all up. Can I get an amen? Amen. We run the risk of blowing it. Listen, we've got to have an understanding. All it takes is for temptation just to enter in to your thoughts, and we can mess up. Some of us, we start trusting in our flesh too much. Be careful of being a religious Pharisee. The Pharisees knew so much, they began to trust in what they knew instead of in their God. And that's what makes church people ugly sometimes. Because we begin to think we're holier than thou. And when somebody has an issue, what's the problem? No, we all got issues. Tell your neighbor next to you, you got issues. Tell the other neighbor, I got issues. Come on, let's get over it. Amen. We all got issues. But we understand that so that we lean on the Lord. We understand that so we get to the house of God at least once a week. We understand that so we listen to worship. Come on. We listen to worship instead of Kanye. Come on, somebody. Or Pusha T and Drake. I see you in here. Come on, we listen to some godliness because why? We desire connection because if I don't have connection, I can't be the type of man that my wife needs me to be. I can't be the type of man that my kids need me to be. I can't be the type of pastor that y'all need me to be. But the minute we start drinking our own Kool-Aid thinking, I got this, I'm good, we start moving away from the things of God, that's when the Bible tells us this, pride comes before a fall. What is pride? Pride is the moment you begin to rely on you and not the ways of God. Okay? Let me show you another act of humility. Another act of humility is submitting to His word. Submitting to His word. That's when you want to do something, but His word tells you you shouldn't, and you choose to do things God's way rather than your way. Can I get an amen on that? I know that one hurts a little bit, but that's what we have to deal with. So the world tells you it's okay to have sex before marriage, but God's word says, it's not good for you, my son. It's not good for you, my daughter. Humility is, I'm going to do this your way, God, because I know if I choose my way, I'm going to mess things up. Are you seeing this? And so it's the same thing. You're at work and everybody around you is cheating the boss. Everybody around you is skimming out on their work, but you know that's not right. You know, the Bible says it's not good to steal and to cheat. And so you submit your ways to the ways of God, even though it means you're going to come home with a little less. You choose God's way above your own. That's called humility. That's called humility. That submission is humility before God. And that's the first mark of a king and a queen. We got to look at our lives and we've got to ask ourselves this morning, am I relying on God? How's my prayer life? How's my word life? Do I go to church? Am I coming to church regularly? Am I being a part of being in the house because I got to get to the king's table? Listen, these are all acts of humility. And God always answers the cry of humility, okay? He says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. That's the kind of God God is, but he wants you to take the first step. Amen? So the first thing we need to know about kings is you've got kings and queens is they know where their help comes. And that speaks of humility. Number two, the second characteristic of a king you want to get right now from King Solomon is this. Kings know how to give and sacrifice. Kings and queens know how to give and sacrifice. How do we know this? Because the scripture starts off telling us that not only did Solomon pray, but he went up and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. That says that, number one, that Solomon knew where his help came from, but also he wasn't afraid to give and sacrifice. And we've said this before, and this has been a statement that I've just been rolling around, and we've been talking about this with the King's Men. Please do not miss Friday night if you're a man. Everybody, every man can you know, use a little encouragement. And on these Friday nights, we've been really going in on reprogramming ourselves to who we are. But one of the things we've been saying, and it's been rolling around for the last month, is that we've got to mature, and that men are givers, boys are takers. Men are givers, boys are takers. Men are givers, boys are takers. Now, you could take that over into the queen world. Women give, little girls take. And we've got to understand that's a mark of maturity. And as a king, you need to know how to give and sacrifice. As a queen, you need to know how to give and sacrifice. Amen? That's what true kings and queens do. We sacrifice for our children. We sacrifice for the next generation. And without sacrifice. People trying to call themselves Christians without a cross doesn't work. It doesn't work. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. What does that have to do with? There's going to be some sacrifice. The sacrifice Jesus had to make, you and I have to make. It's not always fun to serve Jesus. It's not always fun to serve in the house of God. But why do we do it? We sacrifice. Because men give, boys take. Women give, little girls take. And we have a generation in America of people that just go to church and take. They take the word. They take the presence of God from praise and worship. And they just take. And the moment it's not giving them stuff anymore, they say statements like this. Well, I'm just not receiving anything anymore. I'm not getting fed at that church. And because I'm not getting, I'm going to move on to the next place. It's getting real quiet in here. And that happens a lot of times because why? Their mentality is not yet mature. Sometimes God has you in a place to give, to serve. And I'm so blown away by the people here at Elevate Life Church. Listen, I don't just say this because I'm the pastor, but man, your service ministers to my wife and I. When I see the ushers get here early and they're setting up, and you know what? They want to be in bed later, but they come and they set this room up, and our praise and worship team gets here at 8 o'clock. And not only do they play for you, but they set up their instruments. They hook up the soundboard. They do all these things. There's people right now sacrificing with their kids. They would love to be getting a good word like you in here today. But they're sacrificing. Why? Because that's what it takes to be mature. It's not always about getting. It's also about giving. And true kings and queens understand this. They understand that a mark of a true king is to be a giver. You want to be a better dad, you're going to have to give. You're going to have to give more time. You're going to have to give more of your effort, more of your love. You got to give. This has to be something that we understand we need God's grace to be able to do. And that's why we need total dependence. And that number one thing is to know where our help comes from. Because giving can get tough. Giving can take a lot out of you. But if you're doing that first thing, and you're going before the Lord for your strength, knowing that God, when it gets tough, you're going to lift me up and you're going to help me. It helps you to be able to get through those lean and tough times. But kings need to know how to give and sacrifice. And what this speaks about, it speaks about maturity. You can't be an immature king or a queen, because what will happen is you'll mess up everything that God's given you reign over. And we see it time and times again. You got sometimes immature parents raising kids. Listen, that's a problem. That's a problem. Yeah, you might have became a mother early, but you got to mature. You got to understand that, you know, your life now is those kids. And yeah, you got a son and you didn't know it was coming that early, but you're still young. But now you got to mature and it's got to be about that baby. It can't be about the club anymore. And you leaving a baby with the babysitter so you can go out and get yours. Amen? That's just a part of maturity. That's what life is. Are you guys tracking with me today? That's what we do. We mature and we learn that level of life so that we can bless others. But the other thing that learning how to give and sacrifice does is it teaches you responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Responsibility is a heavy responsibility. But it really is. Being responsible is important. That's why, you know, as parents, we try to teach our children how to be responsible, how to keep the room clean, how to put things back, how to clean up after yourself. See, those are little things, but one day you're going to need to know how to be responsible for a spouse. You're going to need to be responsible at your job. You're going to need to be responsible for your kids. Because understand this and write this down. Authority comes from responsibility. I said authority comes from responsibility. Authority comes from responsibility. People want authority who don't want to be responsible. And that's a problem. That's where we run into problems in marriage, where a man gets married and he expects his wife to submit to him. Listen, she only needs to submit to you if you're being responsible with the needs of the house. If you ain't got no job, talking about the Bible says submit to the husband. Wait a minute. Authority comes from responsibility. If you ain't got no job and you don't ever change that baby or buy the diapers, come on, are you guys seeing where I'm going? Or buy the groceries or watch the kid for any amount of time, then don't nobody have to submit to you. Changes everything, right? And the women said, amen. With a snap, go ahead. I mean, it's just the truth. Yeah, but doesn't the Bible says, yes, the Bible says to obey authority, but authority comes from responsibility. You'll always be able to tell who's in authority by who's the responsible party. So on Friday nights, we have the youth here, okay? And little old Jessica gets up every Friday and she leads that. Little old Jessica. Jessica, about this height right here? In heels? Okay, I'm gonna put it right here. And I don't know if you've seen teenagers lately, but teenagers are big. Teenagers are big. There's some big dudes that come through those doors, man. They come through here and, you know, they're coming from the high schools or whatever. And here's little old Jessica. All right, y'all. Y'all need to keep it down, you know. Now, luckily, we got guys like Jose, and we got Jesse, and we got other people that are there. Mondo's ready to drop an elbow every now and again, you know. These guys are ready, but she has the authority those nights. She has the authority not because of her stature, but because she's the one putting it together. She's responsible. So she's calling to make sure this person's there, that person's there. This is going to be set up. There's going to be things for the kids to eat. There's going to be a game. There's going to be a video. Who's doing what? That person has now because she does that, she has authority. Amen? And because of that, when you recognize somebody's being responsible, you have to submit to that authority. We have that in our ushers department. We have that in our children's church. And see, if you don't understand the kingdom, you walk into those situations and you go, why I got to listen to her? Why I got to listen to him? It's because, see, you don't understand authority. You need to listen to whoever is responsible. Amen? And so for our kings out there, if you're a man and you're trying to run your house, you're trying to be the head of your house, are you being responsible in that house? Are you doing your part to make sure the house stays afloat? Are you making sure, listen to this now, that everybody in your house goes to church? See, we got to change this narrative that the spirituality of the church is on the mom. I can't stand that. Where the mom and the kids go to church, but the dad stays home and watches the game. That's ridiculous. That's not a king. That's a pauper. That's a beggar. Listen, kings got to understand, I'm responsible. If I want my kids to serve God, I've got to model what it looks like to serve God. I'm responsible. And so if the Raiders are playing, DVR that game. It's what I do. The Niners are playing, DVR that game. Turn your phone off. You watch it when you get out of church. Amen? But it don't make no sense. I'm going to stay home and watch the game, baby. I'm sorry, ladies, I'm exposing it. But man, do you got a king or do you got to want to be king? Because a king understands I got to be responsible. A king got to understand that I want my kids to follow God and my kids are going to do what I do. This thing of do what I say, not what I do. Come on, y'all. That don't make no kind of sense. It's do what I do. Amen. We model this thing. And so we have to be responsible. Okay, we've got to be responsible. Kings are responsible. That speaks of maturity in giving and sacrifice. The reason that Solomon was doing this is because he understood, I'm now responsible for a kingdom. I need God in my life. Mothers, fathers, you are now responsible for kids. You better get God in your life before you mess their lives up. Amen? You better get God up in you before it's your kids that are at the altar call later on in life because you didn't give them enough love. And it's not enough to say, well, I grew up without it. I just didn't know how to give it. No, you got to learn how to get it. There's a ton of things that I do for my kids that I didn't get growing up. I've had to learn how to be a better father than my father was. I've had to learn to go to another level than my mom and dad. And you can do the same, but you got to get responsible. And sitting at home and vegging out in front of the TV ain't always going to do it. Matter of fact, it's never going to do it. You got to get out there and be responsible. Amen? Amen? All right, number three, the last thing I want to give to you guys today is kings put the needs of others above themselves. Kings put the needs of others above themselves. Kings and queens, either one. They put the needs of others above themselves. And Solomon models this. The Bible tells us there in the text that he went up and he offered sacrifices unto the Lord. And his sacrifices got God's attention. Remember, his giving got God's attention. If you think God is not watching your offerings and your tithes, you're mistaken. Because even here, he offers 1,000 burnt offerings unto the Lord, and then the Lord comes to him. It's no coincidence. It was in response to his giving. But what's awesome is God comes to him and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And Solomon's response just blows the mind of God. He's thinking, any one of us would have said, oh, God's asking whatever I want. Give me new life. Give me endless amount of riches. Kill all my enemies. Seriously. He could have asked for the world. God, I want to rule this planet. But he doesn't. Why? Because he's thinking about the people in his kingdom. And he says, God, give me understanding. Grant me understanding. Grant me wisdom so I can better lead your kingdom. That's an amazing prayer when you understand what he could have asked for. I mean, let's just be honest. If God showed up to us in a dream and he's saying, yo, what can I do for you? Some of us would just go bananas with some fun things, right? I mean, like, God, give me a ticket to anywhere I want to go in the world for whenever I go. God, give me a record contract, right? God, give me $1 million. God, do this. Bless my business. I mean, we'd go crazy with the request. I see the smiles on so many people going around this place just thinking about what the possibility would be, okay? But a true king and queen think first of the needs of others. And I believe this is why God has his hand upon this church. This is why God is with us, because you guys have exhibited this kind of behavior. As our mission is quite simple, love God and lift others. I see time and time again when we do outreaches, when we go on missions trips, when we come together just on a Sunday, what it takes to turn this room into a sanctuary are people that are not looking at their own needs, but they're looking to serve the needs of others. That's a true mark of a king and queen. But here's the kicker when you understand, if I could just learn to put the needs of others above my own selfish needs and get involved with serving people and get involved in trying to win the lost and get involved in outreach and helping people and all these types of things, the Bible goes on to say about Solomon that God said to him, because you didn't ask for something selfishly and because you asked for something to help you help others, he said, I'm going to give you all the stuff that you could have asked for. Riches, honor, lands, death of your enemies. God ended up doing all that stuff for Solomon. But the key was this. The key was he had to first get a heart for other people. I want you to catch this today, because if we're going to be kings and queens and sons and daughters of God, we have to think like God. And God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus came down, left his glory, the throne of God, the perfect environment, to come and be born in a dusty, dirty, smell like poop manger, to live in a body made from dirt. It was beneath Jesus to do what he did, but he did it for you and I. And it always, it's like what Emily was saying there. We complain about stuff when we miss that it's our opportunity to sacrifice. You're going to have to put up with some crazy people. Put up with it. Sacrifice. You're going to have to get up early and do things you don't want to do. Listen, get over that and sacrifice. It's what kings do. You might have to come out on Monday nights and be out here with these kids that don't even come to this church. And it's going to be hot and you're going to be tired after work. But get over it and sacrifice for others. It's what kings do. Are you tracking with me today? It's what our God did. It's what Jesus did. And if we want to be like him, it's what we'll do. And it's what we already do, some of us. And I want to challenge you, because when you do that, I believe that's when God begins to look down and he begins to open the windows of heaven, if you could help me. He begins to say, because you're not praying and seeking me just for yourself, because you're involved and you're helping others and you're serving in kids and you're setting up as an usher and you're doing these things, because you're not putting your needs above the needs of others, I'm going to give you all the stuff that you could be seeking. I'm going to bless you with the things that you could be going after. You know, when you requested to have Sundays off and they told you, ooh, I don't know if you want to do that, because that's time and a half. And you said, no, but I need to be at church and I need to help out and I need to do this. God says, because you put the needs of me and the others, I'm going to give you time and a half somewhere else. I'm telling you, God can do it. That's what we do when we rely and know where our help comes from. When we understand that we have to give, and when we understand also this last key, that we've got to put others' needs above our own, that's when God gets involved. And that's when he helps us be true kings and queens. I want you all to stand on your feet this morning. See, Solomon was scared. To be honest, it's very clear. He was scared. He was put in a position to where he realized, man, I'm not ready to be king. I could really screw this up. I could really mess things up. And this morning, some of you need to get back in touch with what God has given you in your hands. Even just your families. If you're a mother and a father, what you want to see more than anything is you want to see one day each other in heaven. With all the countries I've been to, all the places I've been, the thing that's going to make me the most happy is one day being in glory, being in heaven with my three kids. Now, they're going to still have to make their own decisions. They're still going to have to choose Jesus. I can't choose them for them. But they're going to have to do that. But I got to do my best as a king to model and show them what a life after God looks like. And my prayer, what pushes me to prayer, is that in my weaknesses, in my mistakes, that I don't hurt them to the degree that they look at my life and go, I don't want to be like that man. I don't want to be like him. I'm going to go do my own thing. And some of you, you've got to understand, you have the same responsibility with your families. You have the same responsibility with the people around you. Because remember, and we don't talk about it all the time, but hell's a reality. Living away from the presence of God for all eternity is a reality. And Jesus said, there's only one way to God the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I just came from a nation where it's illegal to lead people to Jesus. Illegal. And yet on the Sunday that I preached there, I gave an altar call. And two Chinese gentlemen came forward and they gave their lives to Jesus. In a nation that if you convert a Muslim, you can be put to death. There are people every Sunday giving their lives, risking it all. But the thing that would mean the most to me is what I model to my family, and I pray that for you.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.